You're listening to One on One with DP, sponsored by Mary Ellen's Food for the Soul on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Smith snaps Mutapchic's head back with that right hand. Oh! Drops him with the elbow! Oh, Mutapchic in trouble. Anthony Lionheart Smith with a huge win tonight.
I spent, it's funny, knowing the stories and then falling into the stories more deeply, and you go back to your run. I didn't know that you had so many fights in Nebraska.
Yeah, I had a lot.
And you're undefeated in Nebraska. What's the problem, man? More fights here.
That's what I said the whole time. I tried to get us a main event right here in Lincoln, and it was booked. It was ready to go. The tickets were sold.
And then COVID.
And then COVID hit. Yeah.
Yeah, it was scheduled for PBA. Do you think they ever come back?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. They had a great turnout here. There's a lot of Midwest guys. They love Kansas City. They love Des Moines. Lincoln is absolutely going to be on the radar for sure.
I mean, Grant Dawson's connected. Of course, Drew Dober is connected. There's a big market for it, and there's some up-and-comers. It will be interesting. Anthony the Lionheart Smith here on One-on-One. You were telling us, we're talking about family and your daughters and how important they are. And it is eye-opening, and it changes vision to watch you with your family. Like, I think everybody, like, that would be its own show. It's just you and your
it's a reality show for right? sure. It's a mess.
You know, but you said before that it changed you.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Changed you how?
As we were talking earlier, like everything that I was doing was kind of just flying by the seat of my pants. I had no direction. I had no plan. I was just doing things. I didn't know why I was doing them. I just, this feels right, so I'm going to chase it. Excuse me. So then I meet Michaela. One of my best friends growing up, her name is Nadine, and Nadine and I were really, really great friends. Well, then once I dropped out and then she graduated, she went on to college and I started chasing this fighting thing. Well, then she plays volleyball in Fremont at Midland, and her roommate is this nice lady named Michaela. Well, then I run into them just randomly in Omaha. Yeah. Like, we're all out, you know, I think Michaela and I were 22, and I run into Nadine, and she's got this, you know, pretty attractive lady with her. And I'm like, well, I want to know that lady. I want to meet that girl. And so, you know, we exchanged numbers through Nadine, and, you know, the rest is history. This was 15 years ago, and now we're married with 4 kids. But at the time, I was a mess. I was a disaster. I was barely making my rent. I was kind of struggling up and down in this fight world. And I remember she asked me, like, what do you do? I'm like, oh, I fight. And she goes, no, like, for a job. I said that's what I'm trying to do. It's not going that great right now, but I'm trying real hard. And she just, I was passionate about it, so she was like, "All right, cool. That's what he does. I don't really understand it, but that's what he does."
Isn't it just amazing how we luck into women?
Who
will buy into that version of
Dean
us?
Dean Thomas will tell you she made a bad bet. Dean Thomas told her that was a bad bet. Maybe that hits one out of a million times and you got lucky and it worked out. Fortunately, there was no money. There was no fame. Like, I was probably not going to make it. I think I was 5-4 as a pro. Like, I wasn't very good. It wasn't going well, but she was about it, 'cause I liked it. And so, fairly soon into our relationship, she ends up pregnant. Mm-hmm. And that kind of changed everything for me. It didn't initially. I think there's that saying that moms become moms as soon as they're pregnant, mm-hmm. and dads don't really become dads until the baby's here, because mm-hmm. they don't quite understand it. Mm-hmm. And so I was still kind of a mess, and she stuck with me through the entire thing. I was all over the place. It was up and down. I was still kind of struggling with a lot of the mental health stuff I think I had going on. There was just some, some depression, and I was uncomfortable in life, and I just had a lot going on. But I remember this is the spaghetti story. She was like 8.5 months pregnant, just huge. And we have no money. And the way that we ended up living together, I went on a fight trip to go corner some friends, somewhere in, Illinois. And when I came back, I'd been evicted from my apartment and I had nowhere to stay. And so she said, well, you have a fight coming up and you could go to your mom's, but then you're gonna have to drive and you got nowhere for your dogs. And well, if you want, you can just stay here. And this is really early in our relationship. Mm-hmm. She said, well, you can just stay here. And then once you fight, you know, you can use that money and figure out what you're gonna do after that. I just never left. I started staying there and I just never left. And so then we ended up getting our own place together. But then, you know, we have no money. She's working. She's super pregnant. She's working overnights at Children's Hospital. And we are scrounging change at our cars and our house, anywhere we can find it so we can buy the ingredients for spaghetti. And so we drive, we're on 108th and Maple. We drive to like a Bag and Save. And we're about to get out of the car and I can't do it. I just can't. I'm too embarrassed that I can't walk through this store and pay for the ingredients for spaghetti with my pregnant girlfriend with change. I couldn't do it. And then so I just, well, you just go and I'll just wait here. I was so embarrassed. And she didn't bat an eye. She said, all right, cool. I'll go. Just a full on OG. Oh, that's fine. I'll go. So she went, she goes in, and while she's in the store, I felt like the dirt on the bottom of your shoe. And that was when I made the decision. And I started saying it from that moment on, world champion or die trying. Like, I have to figure it out. I have to, because she's willing to. She's willing to grind. She's willing to be, you know, in the mess. She didn't bat an eye. She just said, yeah, I'll go do it. And I couldn't do it. I my ego wouldn't allow it. And so that was when I made the decision. I don't care who I got to kill. I don't care who I got to knock out. I don't care who I got to beat. I don't care who I got to step on. I have to make it. I have to figure it out. And that was when I kind of just made that decision that if I have to run myself into car accidents over and over and over and over again, I have to make sure that her and that baby are okay. And that's kind of when that resurgence and that streak kind of started.
And that was quite the run. I, you know, having met your wife, I understand mm-hmm. that. And people say all the time, you know, we outkick our coverage.
Oh, for sure.
Right. That we outkick our coverage and go, no, but this is the thing.
Yeah. I don't deserve her. Right. For sure.
Like, listen, folks around here who know my wife, they know Becky, they recognize that we are other ends of the spectrum about most things, but we constantly meet on the bridge in the middle to get better, to just get through. And this station doesn't happen without mm-hmm. her going to get spaghetti.
Right.
Right. Like, how many times she went to get the spaghetti so that
right.
we live as we do now. And it's necessary to say it's brilliant. Anthony Lionheart Smith, UFC, ESPN, you know, and again, this is why I was thrilled in having the conversation with you, because I know that you can set everybody's world on fire when it comes to the UFC and the fight game. I know how passionate you are to make the journey from Omaha to Lincoln to watch the Huskers and,
oh, yeah.
you know, how much it matters, right? I know how you manage time like a madman to be there for your daughters and all the athletic things that are going on.
Always.
Right. And then the constant attempt to be dad of the year, right? I watched
I'm trying. You, right? I fail a lot, but you
know,
I try.
You know, no, I just like to watch you at Supernova's matches mm-hmm. and your daughters just beam. Here's what, I don't know what else is going on. I know your daughters know they're loved.
For sure. Absolutely. They know their dad will do anything for them. Anything.
You know, to be that kind of hero, to ride them in and introduce them to their heroes.
Right.
And shout out to the Supernovas. Well,
that's credit to you and the Novas, though. That makes me look really good. That makes me look really good when I say, well, hey, my friends are going to introduce you guys to these incredible athletes that you guys look up to. Makes me look like a superstar, but really, that's you guys.
Well, here's the thing. This is paying it back and paying it forward, because, as I said, we've been at UFC events all over the country. And without fail, you and Bruce Buffer have been exceptional. Like, y'all make a point. Okay, where are you at, dude? Let me come give some love. And it's even in Salt Lake City, right? Mm-hmm. We're socializing, and you make time for my friend. So it shows me who you are and why you want to root for people and fight for people. And I can tell you, it's been exceptional to learn how to watch fighters that you know do this thing. It's not easy. Your wife's a superhero. I don't know how she goes through when the training.
When we were younger, it wasn't that big of a deal. It was kind of just, I think she was just, yeah, that's what he loves to do, and so I'm going to support it. But she didn't really struggle with it too much. Like, okay, well, like, she didn't really ever care if I won or lost. As long as I was okay, she didn't really care.
Yeah.
As we got older and we started having kids and the stakes get higher and the highs are high, but the lows are really low. So she knows, like, one, if I'm injured, now I have to go through a surgery, and then we got to go through PT, and I'm going to be in a lot of pain, and she's going to be sitting in a hospital waiting room waiting for me to come out of surgery, and she's going to hear me before she sees me because I'm going to be in a lot of pain, and then she's got to get me home, and then she's got to, her and the kids got to usher me into a bed, and then they got to take turns bringing pain meds and trying to get me back on my feet. As hard as that is for them, they know that it's equally painful for me, not just physically, but I hate being down. I hate being down, and I hate to lose more than I like to win. So if I'm injured and I took a loss, to me, that's the worst possible place I could be. I couldn't imagine a worse place mentally to be than to be injured, fresh out of surgery, knowing that I'm going to have a long road back and sitting on a loss. It's painful. So I think just the stakes get higher. So if I take a loss, like, man, we're going to have to win two more to get back to a title shot. Like, we're two more. Like, if that fight is, you win this, you go into a title. I was in a couple of those. Mm-hmm. You win this, you're back in a title shot. And then I lose. And something freak happens and I break my leg. And then it's like, okay, now you're calculating. Man, we're going to have to do this three more times before we're even back in title contention. And then you win two. And you're like, all right, we win this next one. I'm going to get a title shot. And then you don't. And then you're back in surgery. And then you're coming out of the hospital. And you're like, man.
Let's go through the list of surgeries.
Yeah, there's a lot.
I got
one coming up in 2 weeks.
What do you haven't done?
Two level fusion in my neck and a disc replacement right above it.
So you all the things you just talked about, it's about to happen in full.
Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Brother,
we're about
brother.
To be there again,
brother. Brother.
Yeah.
No, it
that's the journey that nobody sees. Everyone loves to see us entertaining and in there just tearing each other apart, but no one pays attention to what happens the 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 12 weeks that follow it.
The days after, the night after. I try to explain to folks on air, whenever I go to a UFC event and I come back on air on Monday and try to explain the facets of it, the preface of it, of the weight loss in the training camps, and then those final hours on Friday morning for weigh-in,
yeah,
which are just, if you've ever been in a hotel convention area where fighters are trying to make weight and you walk into a bathroom, you never know what you're going to see. Yeah. Like, you never know what you're going to go through fighters are crying and they're in pain.
I've never seen so many grown men cry.
Right. Like, it's just an amazing thing. And it gives me a high level respect for women fighters, mm-hmm. because it's much more difficult
for them,
right. For them to go through this, especially thing,
depending on the time of month.
Right. Like, there's so many things that happen.
That thing is down to a science. And sometimes for women, you might hit Tuesday a fight week and all of a sudden you got an extra seven that you weren't expecting.
You can't deal with it. And people talk about it so casually. I'm like, no, but then I try to explain that, you know, I'll run from cage side to the back media area to do the interviews or be there in the interview room. And you try to explain to people that the losers go straight to the hospital.
Always.
And half typically. The winners. And half the winners.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. That there are, I can tell you that most nights the winners are wheelchaired or on crutches when they come into the post-fight conference. Mm-hmm. It is the most
fresh stitches in our face.
It is the most bizarre. I say it all the time that most UFC fighters are barely human. You're barely human. Yeah. Diet consumption, the sciences behind it. Each of you is an individual science lab that nobody else can replicate how your body processes mm-hmm. all the things that you have to do to make a fight. And I say it all the time, that Dana pays people to make weight. Like, it's almost like I will pay you extra if I can count on the fact that I'm going to ask people to fly all over the world to this town in America to watch us. To watch you fight, mm-hmm. you have to make weight,
right. But you have to weigh this much,
that amount.
That's the real fight.
Like
the other part of it, we'll do.
You walk around it. What was your walk around weight?
Same as it is now. I'm like 240.
But you fought at 205.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know how many people do you have? Are you creating your own Anthony Lionheart Smith diet plan?
Like no, like, you don't want to be on that one.
Just to help people.
The logo would be a yo-yo.
That's perfectly what it is, though.
It's crazy.
To watch, and I always feel guilty because there are relationships with fighters building up to camp, before you go to camp. And then I leave people alone. I disappear because I never really know what kind of day the fighter's having.
Neither do we.
Right? And it's, yeah. And so, and then afterwards, you can win the fight or lose the fight. And I just want to plant a seed to let you know that somebody's out there rooting for you no matter what, like rooting for you.
Right.
The decision is the decision, but you want, but you don't want to be intrusive. I would imagine that. How many texts do you get after a win?
After a win?
Yeah.
Thousands.
Thousands of texts. Thousands. Just bombarding your phone. Mm-hmm. How many texts do you get during a loss, after a loss?
50.
And so That's the dance of the people who care about you and love you, trying to be considerate, but also letting you know.
Well, sometimes there'll be people that I expect to text off a loss, and they don't. And I'll check them.
Bro.
Like, hey, you got no problem sending me a text coming off a win. Why don't you text me when I lose? And I used to get angry about it. Now I understand it. Because they don't know what to say.
I never know what to say.
Yeah, they don't know what to say.
It was there tonight you broke your leg. And I just went, bruh. Like, I just typed, bruh. Like, because the pain,
this fight was going well, too.
Yeah, I know, I just went, oh.
That was going well. That's, like, kind of like my life, though. And I've just learned to accept it. But, you know, I fight Khalil Rountree on 8 days' notice. The fight's going pretty well. We're 1-1 going into third.
Yeah.
I'm putting the pressure on. And then I just get clipped, and then he fights for a title. I'm doing real well with Uncle Elias. The fight's going, it's going exactly how I wanted it to.
Yeah.
And then I break my leg, and now he's the champion.
Yeah,
man, I was so close so many times.
But that's the thing, the difference between being one of the 10 best fighters in the world and being the best fighter in the world. Mm-hmm. And we would, at some point, hopefully in hour two, we get to the John Jones fight. Amongst everything else, from the text line, there are folks that have asked about the break-in, so we got to talk about that.
Yeah, of course.
We got to talk about what's happening in the fight game. We got to talk about your career behind the desk, because I think it's just remarkable that you have found your way. Yeah. Like, if you could talk to 13-year-old Anthony Smith and tell him the story of, hey, bro, guess what you're going to be doing at 38?
I'm going to say, no, you're on drugs. You're on drugs.
Right? But I think that's so much the message for people, and I don't want the message to get lost in the story, that why Anthony Lionheart Smith is who he is the accumulation of a lot of friction and a lot of people loving on him. And then that Lionheart thing, man, it's more appropriate is that. We'll go to break. We want to bring in the folks from Tipsy Teams, but I'm going to ask Anthony to hang out for 5 minutes while I get them in and pay some bills. And then we'll come back for hour two, because I really want to get into this other stuff.
Let's do it.
Anthony Lionheart Smith here, one-on-one. We'll be back.
Remember those endless summer days that felt like they just last forever? Sun rays kiss your skin. Grass tickles your toes as you bite into the creamy popsicle melting in your hand. Pure, unbothered bliss. Capture more sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. This nostalgic vanilla flavor with notes of candied orange can help keep you hydrated while savoring your favorite golden hour moments. No matter how hot your summer gets, just one stick of Liquid IV and 16 ounces of water hydrates you better than water alone. It's 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, with 8 vitamins and nutrients for refreshing on-the-go hydration. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. That's code INDULGE20 at liquidiv.com.